You're listening to episode 230 of Women Worldwide. Have you heard this question lately? I really want to write a book, but where do I start? Or maybe this is a question you've asked yourself. I've got a guest today who knows the steps, the process, and who can help you share your story. So stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thanks so much for tuning in today and for showing up every single week. We appreciate you and how much you're sharing the stories of the guests who come on the show. And we know that it's fueling your passion and powering up your own voice. And wherever you are listening in the world, we appreciate you. Just a quick Women Worldwide update. I want to give a shout out to the listeners in San Francisco. You are in the lead. You are now officially our largest listener base. It was Washington, D.C., which comes in second, then New York, then L.A., and also a shout out to some new friends joining our network. I was just checking out the Lipsyn numbers, and I'm noticing listeners popping up in Romania, Lithuania, and also in Turkey. So thank you. Okay, let's get to today's show. It's all about the folks who want to write books. I can't tell you how many potential authors are out there. And people, professionals who ask me, how can I write a book if I don't have access to a large publisher? What resources are there? Where do I turn? How can I find out more? Okay, well, this is the perfect segue to my special guest today. His name is Paul Brody, and he is the founder and CEO of Brody Consulting Group. Paul works with his clients to write, publish, and market their books, and he's got a proven system, and I'm sure he's going to share some of that with you today. He's also the host of a podcast called Get Published. It's been around for 1 year, and Paul has already recorded his 350th episode. So enough about what I have to say about Paul. He's here to share his journey with you. Paul, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Hey, Deirdre. Thanks again for the invitation.
Oh, anytime. Okay, so I started us off mentioning that so many people want to write books. Now, you actually got your start, your roots in education, and somehow you made this pivot to author. You are an expert book marketer, you're a publisher, and you're a podcaster. How did you get there? What made you choose this path?
Well, it all started with a health crisis I had roughly 8 years ago. So I was borderline 340 pounds, borderline type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. Doctor told me that if I didn't get my act together, that I would be dead in 5 years. And that gave me the wake-up call of all wake-up calls. Because at the time, I was in my 30s. I did not, I couldn't believe he said that to me. And long story short, I got my act together. I lost 60 pounds. I kept the weight off. And I did some research. And one of the biggest things is that over 95% of people that lose weight, they do not keep it off. And what happened was over the next 4 years, I was one of that 5%. And I wanted to share the story about my own journey and not only just, you know, the trials of losing the weight, but I wanted to talk about the struggles, with fighting those challenges every day when you hit a low, when you can't take the weight off, when you have those different challenges where you're feeling, okay, I'm never going to get to this goal. And I wanted to share that story, but kind of like what you talked about, I had no idea how to get a book published, really no idea at all. And what happened was I had a few friends that started publishing books. They had a lot of success. And 4 years later, it's 2015, I'm on a flight to Vegas. And I said, this epiphany on the flight going, why do I keep putting this book off. So what happened was the next morning, I'm at the Mirage at the pool, and completely, I mean, just, I couldn't believe it. Everything just started to flow in my head, right? Everything just started to come out. So I actually opened up my notes app on my iPhone and typed up the entire outline for the book. A week later, wow. I wrote 20,000 words, and that became the first draft. So then I had to realize, okay, now what's the next step? Next step was I needed to find an editor. Was very lucky, found this amazing editor. She's done all my books. Then I needed to find a formatter. Then I had to find the book cover creator. So I was spending probably 8 hours a day learning everything I could about the publishing side. But then I had to realize I had to make sure people actually read this book. Well, I can do all the work in the world getting everything published, but if there's no one there to read it, then we got to figure that out. So I spent another 8 hours a day on the actual marketing part, to learn everything I could about how to launch a book successfully and how to evolve with the market as it changes. So long story short, a month later, we're in August, I launched the book. It's called Eat Less and Move More, and it became my very first bestseller.
That's so exciting.
Oh, thank you. And then what happened was, I also been a motivational speaker for a number of years, so I wanted to write a couple of books based on those seminars. So I wrote Motivation 101, and then I wrote Positivity Attracts. They both became bestsellers, and this is what the life-changing situation happened. I started to have readers and authors reach out and go, hey, we've seen you had a lot of success early. Can you show us how to publish and market our books? At the time, I was a teacher. I was teaching special needs, and I was getting to a point where I was looking to potentially leave teaching down the line. So what happened was I started to coach people one-on-one on writing, publishing, and marketing their book. A year and a half later, we're June 2017, and I actually left my teaching position to focus on the company full-time. And then we expanded out to hybrid publishing, where we were doing done-for-you publishing services, done-for-you book launch marketing. And over the past year, we've also added executive ghostwriting for people that just, they don't want to put it out on paper. They want to tell me their story. So we do it via interview method over 8 to 10 sessions, where we can get a complete draft done with those sessions and interviewing those subjects. And it's just amazing how one book off of the health crisis completely changed my life. And that's the one thing I really want to emphasize with your audience, and I do with my audience too with the podcast, is everyone has a story. You just have to get it out there. You are an expert. There's no such thing as imposter syndrome. Everyone has something amazing they can share with the world. And I truly believe that they just need someone to help them with it, because self-publishing is harder than ever now. When Amazon exhort CreateSpace, it is almost impossible now to get a book cover approved by them or a paperback version of a book unless you've stayed with the trends and seen exactly all the different things that go into it, because anything can change within minutes with Amazon. With Amazon, with Ingram Spark, there's always changes, and you need to have someone at least that you know that can keep you in the loop with those changes, because it's constantly evolving and it's always going to keep changing. And you really have to be able to stay on top of the trends.
Well, it was really interesting. First, amazing story, and congratulations on everything that you've accomplished. And you're certainly an inspiration for all of those soon to be authors. You know, you mentioned about staying on top of the trends, which is really important. What are some other, let's call it, mistakes that first authors typically make in your experience?
Trying to do everything themselves. I think the biggest mistake is if you try to edit your own book. That is one of the worst things you can do.
You can look at something so many times. I mean, I find this myself. I will look at a chapter and think that it's so great, but if I don't actually have an editor or a team looking at it, I miss a lot.
Exactly. And I'll give you an example. We've just finished our first business book project. 75 different people sharing their story. I decided to do one final proof of the book. I already had an editor, already had a great team working on everything. The people that submitted the chapters, they also went and double-checked everything. I've still done one final edit, and I've found not a ton of mistakes, but at the first 17 chapters, I found 6 different little itty-bitty mistakes.
See that?
Yeah, and that's even with an editor. So that's always say, always have one final proof, and always read the book out loud. Record your own audiobooks, because if you can do that, then you can catch all those final proof and mistakes, because no book's going to be perfect. You can see books from the big five publishers. There's mistakes on them. So it's just going in there, you know, having another fresh set of eyes look at it, but invest in editing. I think that's the best investment that you can make. And then also invest in a proper book cover. And you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. You can even find a designer on Fiverr or Upwork. But just realize that you will tend to get what you pay for, but sometimes you can get lucky. So if you want to go through this journey yourself, you can. But from what I've seen now, it's harder than ever to really get a book out there yourself and have it done correctly, because there's millions of books that are out there. And the last thing you want to do is have your book fall into the Amazon rainforest, because there's just so many books out there.
So, Paul, when somebody comes to you, do they typically just come with an idea and do they say, this is my story? Or do you recommend that they kind of do what you did where, oh my gosh, you were, I think you said you were in Las Vegas and all of a sudden, like, it just started to flow. You kind of brain dump, write it all out, get that outline, and then come to someone like you.
You know, we've had different situations. So what we do is we always invite our people to go to our website and set up a complimentary strategy session with a member of my team. And the reason we mention that is because our company, we take a holistic approach. We don't pitch. There's no script. All we want to know is about your book. We want to know your situation. We want to know what you want to get out of it. 70% of our business are non-fiction books, business owners that are wanting to use that book to take their business to the next level, to be the foundation of their platform, and typically to promote a product with it. And that's what I always say, especially with my non-fiction clients. It's not a book launch. It's a product launch. What are you promoting with this book? So we always want to get crystal clear on what is your end result? What is it that you want to get out of this? And then we go into the nuts and bolts. Is the book finished? Have you created an outline? What is your process? We'll have times where our clients are just done the outline and they want to do our interview method with our ghostwriting over multiple sessions so we can just talk the book out. Other times they might want executive coaching just to give them a little extra nudge to show, okay, these are the areas you need to focus on during this call. Get chapters 1, 2, and 3 done. On our next call, we're going to cover 4, 5, and 6 and focus on these key things that you want to do. So what we do is just help them get crystal clear in their vision. Now, we have other people go, hey, I finished my book. It's about to go on Amazon. I need you to market the book for us. No problem. But tell me more about your book. We'll go straight for the sale. We want to know exactly their situation, their book, their budget, and if it's going to honestly give them a return of investment. Because we'll tell them, if it's not going to be a return of investment, we're going to tell them right there. Because
yeah, set the expectations.
Time. Yeah.
Right? Set the expectations up front.
Yeah, we do not want to waste anyone's time. We want to make sure we can help. And we'll tell them, hey, you might be better off trying to go down the self-publishing route. So we just have to figure out what's the best fit for the client and then have that mentality. And we'll either end up working together or we're going to send them on their way with some great resources.
That's excellent. It's great that you can work with different professionals in different ways. Taking yourself to the next level, I can relate to this because my first book when I wrote it was never about, I didn't think about royalties. I didn't think about anything else, but I looked really young when I wrote my first book, placing the book on a boardroom table, because when I had walked into meetings, especially if it was a pharmaceutical company, a law firm, an engineering company, they would look at me and say, okay, where are the executives? And having that book was a way of saying, I'm here and I wrote the book. So it does. It steps you up quite a bit, steps you up a notch.
It gives you the C word. It gives you credibility. I used to always say authority, because we all know the root of authority is author. But I look at it as credibility, especially for businesses, small businesses, mid-sized businesses. When you're promoting your products and you can go, hey, I had such a great conversation with you. Here's a copy of my book. By the way, I've autographed it for you. My phone number is at the bottom of this. I can't wait to start working with you. Whenever you're ready, let me know. And I always say, but what I do in my career, I'm a farmer. And they go, hold up, you're a farmer? Like, yeah, because all I do is plant seeds. And that's our philosophy. We plant seeds with every single person that we meet. Now, some of those seeds are going to grow, and we'll probably end up working together. But other seeds, they may not. But that's our job, is just to plant those seeds, to show them exactly how they can use a book. Because not everyone realizes how you can leverage your book to take your business to the next level, to grow your business from startup to scale up, just like you've done.
Thank you. So this proven system, which I kind of mentioned in the introduction. Now, you probably are one of the best teachers, because anybody who goes through every piece of the process and understands the challenges and keeps up on the trends is able to teach others. Can you just share maybe a little bit about, you know, give a few tips for the proven system?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first thing is, on the publishing side, getting the book done and breaking down everything into bite-sized portions, especially for our executives, our business owners that we work with, to make everything as simplistic as possible. The biggest thing that I learned, Deidre, when I was teaching was to simplify, make everything as simple and as clear as possible. So if we're helping them with the writing portion of the book, we're focusing on 1 to 2 chapters at a time. And that way it doesn't become too overwhelming, because if you start putting every single thing together, it gets intimidating real quick. Think back to when you did your first book.
Oh my gosh. I cried all the time writing that book, because they had me do a chapter every single week, and it was a 450 page book.
And
it was hard for me because it was my first book. I didn't know. So yes, I remember not feeling comfortable.
It can be very overwhelming. So that's why we want to focus on a couple of things at a time. With our clients, we want them to focus on the creative process. We want them to focus on the writing. And then from that point, when it gets done, we take care of the editing. But our process is a little different. It's very collaborative. We go through the edits, we clean everything up, but we send it back to them for approval. Two reasons. One, we want them to have more skin in the game. And two, it's their work. So we use tracking. We have them go in, approve all the edits. If they want things changed, we will change it. So we're going back and forth for a couple weeks on that just to make sure it's done right. Same thing with formatting. After that point, we send it to formatting. Then it comes back. They need to check everything, make sure they're happy with it. And on their approval, then we move on to the book cover. And that's typically, we systemize everything. So from the writing, editing, formatting, book cover. And then once everything's ready to upload, to get it online, then we take care of the marketing. And then with our company, when we talk about a proven system, it's the same system I started 4 years ago. And then we've just evolved it to the point. And while social media is nice, I think you and I both know social media, the main thing is brand awareness. It's not necessarily for conversion. So for conversion, we utilize over 20 different book promo companies that we have utilized as a system for the past 4 years. And what we do is we stack different promos on different days to get the book to peak, to just like a song where it crescendos to the absolute peak, and then we take it out of launch from that point. And we've been able to stay on top of Amazon with the algorithms. Yeah. We advise them on how to get reviews, because as you know, it's constantly changing. But what we have done is we've taken every one of our authors to a number one bestseller. And the reason that we've done that is because we do have the system, but you do have to have a great looking book cover. It has to be professional. It has to be well edited. Because if you don't have those things before you go into a book launch, your book is most likely not going to be successful. And that's why we talk about systemizing everything.
This is really good information. I know a lot of authors are currently listening. I know my listeners are authors and people who are watching on YouTube. So when you talk about Amazon and the reviews, you mentioned there are ways to get reviews. Can you make some recommendations to folks out there on how to get more reviews?
Yeah, don't pay for them. I've seen services. I know Kirkus has a service, but I think if you're going to use Kirkus, I mean, they're not going to leave a review on your page. They'll send it to you and you can put it in an editorial review. So if you feel you need to do that, go for it. But don't pay people and don't pay a publishing company, because if there's a publishing company out there that's charging for reviews, that's probably not a good company to work with. Because you, as the author, you need to get reviews. Now, I will tell you, I had a situation with the launch this week with an Australian client where, for whatever reason, he could not get the reviews to go on the Amazon US site. So I did reach out to a few people in my network. I'm like, hey, I have a client. He's having some issues with his book. If you're comfortable with it, would you be okay with downloading a copy? It's free for next couple of days. And would you be comfortable leaving a review? We typically, you know, I'm not asking this as a publisher. I'm asking this as the friend of the client. I want to support his launch. Right. And that's about as far as we'll ever go. And it's only because that was an emergency situation, because we had to have 5 reviews to be able to book the rest of the book promos for his launch. So, but that was more of an ask as Paul versus the CEO of Brody Consultant. And that was where we were using a lot of the goodwill that we had built up with our network. So it's a very fine line. Mm-hmm. So only in emergency situations will we reach out to try to get help. And obviously, we don't charge for that. We just want to support our clients for their launch.
That's great. You know, Paul, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to shift our focus to the sponsor of today's episode. And our sponsor today is Stephanie D'Alfonso. And her book is Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom. Stephanie is an anxiety expert and coach, and she really helps people to respond to their feelings of overwhelm and to move to emotional freedom. So, Paul, I'm going to ask you, maybe you could share one tip that helps you to relax, and then I'll share some techniques from Stephanie's book.
Well, fortunately, it's Texas. It's July right now. So it's about 105 degrees outside of the heat index. So my main thing to relax is to get in the pool. Do a little exercise in there. Spend some time just relaxing. In fact, we needed a new flotation device out there for the pool last night. So we went to Academy and bought this giant flamingo. So just for fun, I'm jumping off the flamingo last night, diving in the pool. For me, for this time of year, it's just getting out in the pool, relaxing, because I do my best thinking floating in the pool and come up with so many great ideas. It's like my meditation, right? So that's one of the things I always say is find something that you enjoy and something that takes out the static. TV's not on, the radio's not on, you don't have dogs barking or cats doing whatever else. You can just go outside, you can focus, you can relax, just find a place where you can decompress and disconnect.
Awesome. Well, you know what? Exercise, meditation are both in Stephanie's book. Two other techniques. So she has 35 techniques in the book. Two other techniques that I really like and I use. The first one is to smile. Because when you smile, you release these really good neurotransmitters, such as their endorphins, dopamine. And it's really hard to be stressed and anxious when you have all these happy hormones in your body. The second one that's really good is to yawn. And I don't know if you know what happens, but when you yawn, you actually trigger that vagus nerve. That's the longest nerve in your body. And when this happens, exactly.
You felt kind of good.
I know, it feels good. When it happens, it's you're also turning on your parasympathetic nervous system. Your muscles relax, your heart rate goes down, and this combats that fight or flight feeling we sometimes get. So those are in Stephanie's book. Thank you, Stephanie, for being the sponsor of today's episode.
Hey, nice cover too. I like that cover.
She'll appreciate that. Thanks, Paul. Okay, let's dive back into our conversation. So we've talked a lot about your story and how you moved into becoming an author yourself and all the steps and what it takes and into helping other authors and your proven system and now becoming a publisher for them. So we did mention your podcast at the beginning of the show. So it's 1 year, 350 episodes later. That's an amazing number. Tell us about your show and why you wanted to become a host.
Well, I never thought about it. I never thought about having my own podcast. And what happened was a buddy of mine who was also in publishing, he's like, Paul, you got to do a podcast. You've got all this knowledge. You got all this great value you can give people. You need to do it. And then one of my clients, Billy Atwell, who has his own show, he's like, Paul, you got to do this. I will walk you through the process. And he did, to his credit. He walked me through the entire process and how to get the right podcast equipment, the software that you talked about, Libsyn earlier, so utilizing them, utilizing social media for the episodes to build that momentum. And it just grew from there. We started the podcast with an episode a week, and then we started getting more and more people booked to the point where we were actually, and we still are, we release 5 episodes a week, but I was recording 4 episodes a day, 4 to 5 days a week. And we've actually scaled that down now to where it's 2 days a week, like we were talking about before the show, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. In the afternoon, we do 4 episodes each. Because we've just built so many episodes up where it's like, okay, we've got all this great value, but we need to slow things down a little bit because we've had so many shows. But it's been a great experience to build relationships with authors. You were actually on my show a few months ago. We had a great time on that. And then one thing I wanted to do was make it a little bit shorter and direct. So each of our episodes is about 15 minutes, sometimes 20, just depending on the show. I think you and I, we probably went about 25 minutes.
Yes.
So it just depends on the flow of the conversation. If someone's a great speaker, then we will tend to take a little deeper dive into those, especially if they have great marketing strategies. And this is having the opportunity to build those relationships, to build listeners. And I truly feel that, as I mentioned before, the book is your foundation of your platform, but the podcast is the next level up, because it does give you further credibility. It gives you brand awareness, and it gets people an opportunity to connect with you on more of a personal level, because they get to hear you 5 days a week releasing new content, and they can pull on Netflix and go back and listen to 300 plus episodes that we already have available.
I can't even imagine recording that many in a day.
Yeah.
So I usually carve out every other week and I do a few episodes, but that's a tremendous amount. So kudos to you. Are you recommending that authors take that plunge and to use podcast as a media and a forum as a way to really get their thought out there?
I would agree with that. After they've built their platform, after they've had a couple of successful books out there, that they've been able to use those as product launches to build up their back end. So whatever they're doing, the coaching, consulting, definitely recommend it. I probably wouldn't recommend doing 5 episodes a week like we do, but to maybe doing an episode a week or 2 episodes a month, just to have that brand awareness out there to say that you're a podcast host. I was at a business over breakfast event at the Chamber of Commerce, our local one here in Arlington, yesterday, and I had this lady sitting next to me, and we're talking about publishing, and then she's like, you know, you should do a podcast. You have a voice for it. I'm like, I do. And so she wrote it down. She's like, oh, you have? So yeah, it's called Get Published. We've done 350 episodes. And she's like, well, you definitely have the voice for it. I'll check it out. And then I checked my Libsyn stats and saw a huge spike. And I'm like, okay, she's definitely binge watching or binge listening those episodes Netflix style.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I think the podcasting helps so much. Once you have the platform, you did mention social media. So social media for authors, it is brand awareness. You want to be able to drive to a platform. Can you talk a little bit about how you use social media or what you recommend for your authors?
So I'm a big fan of having a solid communication rhythm, not just through social media, but also through your list. I interviewed Mike Vardy a few months ago, and he gave me some great advice for his podcast, because we're talking about different ways that we can build up the momentum and keep it going. And what he was talking about was make sure you do a weekly email that covers the previous week's episode with your show, and also continue to share some personal information. So that way it gave continued information to talk about, things that we could cover every single week. And then what we also do is repurpose those emails into blogs that go on the website. So as we're driving traffic to the website, then they can check out the blogs. We drive that traffic through the website. We drive the traffic through social media posts. When we do a new episode release, we have infographics, we have links, and then we utilize that through Buffer, which we utilize on our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. So you have it everywhere. But right. I truly feel to have that platform, it's great for the brand awareness and to drive traffic. But as I mentioned, for book launches, I'm a big believer in utilizing those paid promo sites, because they're going to convert more. But you're right. Social media is going to help drive that brand awareness and push them towards your website to bring that traffic in. It's just a little different way to utilize it versus a traditional book launch.
Right. Well, what about sites like LinkedIn? For some of the business authors, are you recommending that your authors make sure that they're on LinkedIn, their profiles look good, that they're engaging, they're sharing about their books? If they have podcasts, they're sharing their podcast links to their podcast there. Is that something that you also do?
Yeah, I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn has brought in just about every single one of our guests. That's how we connected, because we reached out to you on LinkedIn. So but that's the other area that we post. We also post in LinkedIn. But you can also utilize through Sales Navigator and through Meet Leonard. You can reach out to up to 200 people a day and make those connections. And whether you're using it to promote your business or utilizing it to invite people to be on your show, I love LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is the one website that I think has the greatest impact if you use it correctly. because people want to do business on LinkedIn. Facebook's more social. Instagram's more social. Twitter's just anything. It's kind of like the Wild West, right?
I feel like you're saying Twitter's just out of control.
Yeah, it gets a little crazy. But LinkedIn is a great opportunity to continue to build those relationships. And then when you are posting your podcast 5 days a week on all those different platforms, it's a great way to continue to drive that traffic in.
Right. So is Sales Navigator something that people should check out on LinkedIn? You're finding value?
Yes. Okay. We've used Sales Navigator for the past year. We utilize Meet Leonard with it, but we've been focusing more on Sales Navigator and targeting. And I find that better than any Facebook advertising around. Because you can go in there, you can search specifically for people. I could search for aspiring authors. I could search for consultants, coaches, speakers, and reach out to those people and go, hey, just noticed you had a book out. We'd love to have you on the show. Or if they haven't had a book, it's like, hey, so I noticed you've got all these great things going on. Have you considered writing a book? If so, let me know. We'd love to potentially talk with you.
Right.
So there's different ways that you can do that to reach out and just start to build those relationships, but in a non-salesy way, just having that holistic view going, hey, I noticed this, saw this on your page. Let me know your thoughts.
That's great. So Paul, I mean, you've had a lot of success. It sounds like you're really bringing super value to your clients, right? Your authors that are getting out there, they're using a proven system. What about challenges? So if you were to kind of step back right now for yourself and your business and the way you're growing, any challenges that you're facing?
Just setting the expectations early with clients. Yeah. So just making it clear that you're not going to make millions of dollars on the front end with royalties. And it's very difficult to do at times with science fiction authors because they all think they're going to be the next great author out there. So it's tempering those expectations early and often, which is also probably why I mainly focus on nonfiction. Because with nonfiction, you can set those expectations early and the focus is on the back end and the focus is making sure that you're clear with your offer. So I think that's one of the things, that's probably why we shifted more towards nonfiction, because those guys understand the expectations going forward. Not everyone's going to be the next J.K. Rowling. Not everyone's going to be the next Stephen King. And even if you're working with a publisher, that needs to be made clear because most publishers don't even do marketing for their clients. The big five, half the way that they go out there and get clients is they look for the following. And if they have a huge social media following, they will go after them and pitch them to potentially work with them with the expectation that they are actually doing all the work. So the client, the author, since they already have that social media following, they're expected to do that. So when you work with a company like ours that does offer these different things, it's just making it crystal clear, the expectation and how they're going to recoup their investment.
Right. I think big publisher or self-publisher, the author has to be invested in the marketing of the book, no matter what. Even if somebody's doing it for you, if you're self-publishing and Paul, your company is doing it for an author, they still should be out there giving it their all because that's what really makes a difference.
Well, and the other thing too is having them go on different podcasts and doing talks. And one thing I always recommend is like, hey, reach out to Rotary clubs, reach out to all these different clubs and associations and offer to speak and then talk about your book, talk about your journey and also book sign it. So I'll give you an example for our business book. I'm actually doing something I've never done. And that is actually a book launch party that we're doing at Texas Live here in Arlington on August the 6th, where we're going to have all these people coming out and basically having a big party and getting local media, doing some different things. But that's with 75 people in the book. And our hook's going to be from 8 to 82 because we have an author who's 8 years old. We have another one that's 82 years old. And basically getting in there and having the opportunity to share a little bit about those stories. So also getting out your comfort zone because you cannot be an introvert and an author and expect to sell tons of books. Even with a publisher, they can help you through the launch. But if you're not going to implement what they suggest with going to do book signings, book launch parties, and speaking, then it's going to be difficult to keep that momentum going because, Amazon ads can help, but every author now is using Amazon ads. When we started doing it 2 years ago, that's another, it's completely changed. Everyone's doing ads. And if you're not committed to doing a new set of ads every single month, then that book's also going to fall by the Amazon rainforest if you're not doing things to keep momentum of that book going.
Exactly. So I agree with you. Speaking is an excellent way to get out there, to share your thought leadership, grow your tribe. People get to know you. People want to know their authors. And that way they get excited when the next book comes out and the next book. And I started back in 1999 with my first book, but that was the Chamber of Commerce, local associations, going into companies in the area. You got to start somewhere. And it is stepping out of your comfort zone. I know public speaking is really difficult for a lot of people, but you know, once you can do that, you can see the difference.
Well, and there's an angle. So for those that aren't comfortable doing speaking, do a panel. Have someone that you know or someone who's known in the area, have them ask you questions. So there's different ways to do it where you're not necessarily the only speaker up there. You could do a panel, you could do an author interview, and have someone else take the lead. Kind of like this interview right now. You're taking lead with the questions, and my job is to answer them as clearly as possible, right? It's right. The same thing where you could have an event like that and have someone ask you the questions, and you just answer them.
That's right. It's a lot easier, I think, when you're on a panel session. What do you think of the online speaking, the virtual summit, the virtual panels? Do you think that's more pressure on the author because now you're adding technology into it? Or do you think that's almost easier because you're not in person, but you're still seen? You know, you do it on a platform where everybody sees you.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because I know we were talking before the show. I'm actually going to do my first virtual summit this fall about publishing, writing, and book launch marketing. So we were already talking details, already invited you to be a part
yes,
of that.
Thank you.
And of course, what's funny is, of course, I'm laughing right now, it's a video. I didn't realize our interview is going to be in video. And we're doing this summit. This is exactly the format. It's going to be the two speakers talking. And of course, I'm wearing a Miyagi-Do shirt from Karate Kid because... You, I had a dog issue where I had to go sort out some things outside prior to the interview.
Poor dog.
Yeah. We won't get into that detail. But, but the funny part is that, you know, it is on video. So it's a little different than being on a podcast. And I keep looking at myself right now because I move around a lot. I use my hands. I mean, I'm English, but you think I was Italian. I move my hands around so much.
It's so good for video.
Yeah, very expressive.
Personality expressive.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you get to see that more as you're going on. So it's a little bit different, but it's also like doing a podcast. The only difference is that you're on video. So it's just getting comfortable with that and realizing people aren't there just to watch to see if you got a Miyagi-Do shirt on. They're listening to the content and the quality and the value that you're going to give. And that's why when you're doing things like a summit, I think they're great. I've been on multiple summits in the past, but specifically I've usually talked about either the product launch with the back end or talking about marketing. And just having a nice, natural conversation. And then kind of like what you talked about, having some questions prepared beforehand, you send those over. The difference between a podcast and doing the interview is that it's going to be a little bit more tailored and a little bit more specific to that specific situation. But my advice is get on everything that you can, because I've seen some terrible virtual summit speakers and I've seen some awesome speakers. The main thing is they were part of the summit. Right. They were part of this opportunity. They were part of a webinar, whatever it is. So anytime that there is an opportunity that presents itself, then go for it.
Right. And have fun.
Just take the time. Yeah. And enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Have a good time. Smile.
Well, and that's the thing. And it comes across. If you're wooden and you're like, yes, I would love to talk about that. Well, one, you sound like Alexa. And secondly, you don't want to have that robot thing. Just have a natural, fun conversation and just give value. One thing I always say is I give away all my information for free. What we charge for is implementation. What we charge for is people that do want that additional support and want that help. And then we talk about potentially working together. But the main thing is that you always want to help other people. You want to give value. You want to get great content. Because I'm a huge believer it goes around, comes around. You do good in life. You help people. It's going to come back in a beautiful way. It's not with the expectation. But it's typically what happens.
That's what happens.
But when you're not doing good, when you're not helping people, when you're scamming them, when you just want to get money out of them, then that's going to come back in a whole different way. And with our company, we talk about core values. We talk about truth and service. And that's what we live by, where we're going to be very clear from the start. If we can help you, we're going to tell you. And if we can't, we're not going to waste your time, because your time is valuable. We're not here just to make money off of you. We're here to help you with your journey, and that's our job.
Right. Giving helpers. So, Paul, we're already up to the point in the show where you get to round it out with just some quick advice to our listeners about sharing their stories and getting started and writing their books. What do you want to say to them?
So, two things. There's two mantras I always teach my clients. And if you listen to my podcast, I always talk about this. First mantra is done is better than perfect. Just get it out there. Get it published. You can always fix it later. I've caught mistakes in books a couple months after my first one went out. We went and fixed it. You can fix it within 24 hours. So done is better than perfect. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to take the plunge. Don't be like me. Don't take 4 years to get your book out. Because I've had clients that have taken 30, even 40 years to finally share that story. You are already an expert. So go out there, get the book done. Talk to someone like me, hire a coach. Get someone that's going to help support you. And that's another thing I mentioned too. We do offer free strategy sessions on our website, getpublishedpodcast.com or getpublishedsystem.com. I just want to be clear. We're not there to pitch. We want to know how we can help you with your book. And most importantly, help you share your story with the world and to grow your business. That's the main thing that we want to do.
Well, great advice. Done is better than perfect, and don't be afraid to take the plunge. Paul, you just mentioned your websites, and my last question is always, where can people find out more about you and your work? So any other places where they can find you or you want to connect?
Well, the podcast is on iTunes, but the main website, getpublishedpodcast.com. We also getpublishedsystem.com. They all redirect to our main site. We have multiple domains. In fact, the funny thing about that, I wanted to buy the Get Published website, and they were going to give it to me for a special price of only $30,000.
Oh, and I said,
you know what? You are so kind. I really appreciate that. And I did make them a counter offer, which is actually pretty good. It was actually even four figures. they declined it. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to buy some other domains for $10 each. Get Published System, Get Published Podcast, Get Published Info, BCG Publishing. So we bought multiple sites for about $50. And declined their generous offer to buy getpublished.com.
That's too funny. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your insights, your advice, all these actionable tips for soon-to-be authors really help. So thank you.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, and I wish everyone all the best in their author journeys ahead.
Oh, thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Women Worldwide. Please keep sharing and letting us know how you feel. Give us a shout out on Twitter. We're there. Sometimes it's noisy, but we're definitely there. On Facebook, too. You can rate us on iTunes. Go to the womenworldwideshow.com website. You can sign up for our updates. And please subscribe to the Deirdre Breckenridge YouTube channel. Okay, friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.